Hello everyone, I am Augustas Serapinas, a visual artist from Vilnius and based in Vilnius. I am a Rupert alumni. I was at Rupert in alternative educational program in 2013, let's say.
So you have gathered quite a lot of international success recently. You've been featured as the youngest author in Venice Biennale, and recently you did a piece with other authors in Basel, and also in Antwerp. You basically started an architectural project, almost architectural sculpture. I was wondering how. Did your life change much since you've gained this momentum in your work?
It's quite. There was no momentum, like a spontaneous momentum, or like it didn't kind of start in one. I don't know, over one day or 1 month or 1 year. For me, it was kind of gradually developing from the beginning, from the, I guess, once I finished art academy in Vilnius in 2013. And then just year by year, I was like, maybe more confidence, more awareness, but that's kind of something else, rather than, I wouldn't say that a lot of things change in my understanding. So I would say over the years, I'm more confident. That's for sure. And it's not like I suddenly, you know, like, I don't know, got into the, I don't know, Venice, like main exhibition. And that's the point from where I had before some important shows, and it was just kind of the, I don't know, result.
Sure, because one can remember the orange cat on top of the gallery in Vienna, right?
Yeah, it was Kunsthalle Wien.
Could you tell us about that piece?
So basically, that was cat was when it was probably 2017. It was second time I was taking part in the show in Kunsthalle Wien, and that was more like a commission, like institution commission artists for a 1 year to do like a work which would be a public work. And I knew Ziggy or Sigrid, and she is, I hope she still is, I don't know, chief financial officer of Kunsthalle Wien. So it's a kind of important position, like, let's say it's like she's responsible for all finances, but she's not responsible for any artistic decisions. So like, and what got my interest is that nevertheless she had her own preferences and, let's say, her own strong, like like, I don't know how to say, her own taste, and you could clearly see that in her office. And what she would do, she would just kind of bring some things to her office, and there I saw that the small orange cat, which apparently she found in a trash bin, and I use it as a model, that cat. And I amplified it, so from this small trash found object, it became a huge sculpture on the roof of the Kunsthalle Wien.
It's also, I found it quite funny because at night, its eyes would light up, right? Like some superheroes or whatnot. So I thought that's very characteristic of your work, where you combine this very subtle irony. I would even call it an artistic smile rather than a joke, rather than a mocking or sarcastic. It's sensitive. Because you upscale something that is produced by a child, that is not very powerful in terms of its cultural power, you know, and you kind of give it that power. And it seems that you tend to do that with other, especially spaces. I'm talking in particular about one piece that you did where you created this backstage office.
Well, that was actually the backstage of the curator, but I guess who worked on the show.
Curator?
But the technician one, that was in Muka. Basically, so that's 2014. So Anders, the curator, he invited me, put me in touch with George, who's a technician. He's actually the head of the technicians. It's like a big institution. They have some technicians there. And so we started to meet, and like he showed me, like, you know, maybe I know what you would like. You open the door and you like open, and there is like this shaft goes straight. So straight
just,
down.
Just to describe what visually is there is there is a shaft, an opening between two walls, between an old one and a big one, and it's about what?
It's 1 meter
one
width,
1 meter wide, yeah,
and 15 meters long and 17 high.
Wow.
And
to
no
the inhabitants.
One knew about that. Like curator, he was not aware about that at all. And then I started to talk with George, and I wanted to do it somehow with him, because he showed me that. I made an entrance into the space through the exhibition space.
So do you consider the space, the very site that you create your works in, is it a continuation? Is it a frame for your work? Is it a part of your work? Where does your work start and end?
It's a good question. Well, before for me, it was, I guess, even more important. I think I departed as an artist from the space and from the notion, like what the space is, what it brings to you. And well, and particularly like since this kind of hidden spaces, why I was interested and it's still maybe interesting for me, it's because it's a sort of like pockets of like, if you see the whole, let's say, building with, and every space has a certain function, let's say, and those kind of spaces, they don't really have a function, but they have a sort of character. I would see it, like for me, it was always then like kind of, I was always thinking how I can insert something into that without actually maybe harming that space itself. So kind of how to be more like, I don't know, like a parasite, was like you put someone but the kind of, let's say, the building that notice that you actually insert something in that.
I'm thinking of one site specific piece that you did recently with 20 apartments, where you actually polemicize with the building itself, almost, right? Could you tell us about it?
Yes, definitely. Well, 20 apartments, it's basically, there was a construction site next door to the exhibition space, and people who were building it, they called it like 20 apartments. It was their like slang. They gave me the plans of the building which they would build, and then I looked at the ground floor and I saw that there is sort of like similarity. If I like mirror the ground floor, the very the closest site to the exhibition space, so right, literally like around the wall, so it could be the same, like if I build additional some walls and use already existing walls in the exhibition space. And that's basically was the key for me. So what I did, I kind of transferred part of the construction site into the gallery space, which was actually kind of connected with the building they would build. And they were building the... It was still the kind of ground, like basement. I built a ground floor in the gallery, and in the construction site, they didn't had it built yet. So basically, by going to see in the exhibition, you would see something what it would be built in the future in this construction site.
Fascinating, because that's actually a question I wanted to ask you. How important is temporality for you? A moment, an epoch, do you comment on it? Does it impact? Is it important for you? I'm thinking here about the snowmen. You brought them from Lithuania to London in a freezer. Do I understand it correctly?
Yeah. Basically, in Lithuania, who would be listening to us, they don't know, but we have sort of issues with public sculpture in general. And thinking about snowmen in that terms, it's very, I guess, interesting, because it's a something which made produced collectively. And the most beautiful of all that it's seasonal. It's really like, it's very temporary. So you build something and it disappears then, you know. You build something collectively, and then either it gets destroyed, either just melts. And then thinking of that in that terms of like public sculpture, I find it very interesting. That would be a really this kind of approach. I'm not saying let's build like a snowman everywhere. And there's the whole beauty in its simplicity. And so that's one of the moments I kind of was interested, and the reason also why I wanted to bring it to London, because they don't have any snow there, and once they have it, it's usually like then everything stops.
It's a national festival.
They kind of everything like stops for a second, and actually it happens every almost year, and yeah, they reacted as it would be first time.
Why preserve it then? Why not leave them to decay in the gallery in a positive temperature once they're brought in?
You know, they were decaying, actually. They were melting, but slowly. They would melt like in a second otherwise. Why did that? I guess because I wanted to kind of show that displacement, and that the people would experience that. And also, it was a spring already, late spring, and it was quite warm. It was plus 20, you know, Celsius outside. And then you go in and you go into that walk-in freezer and you... But, and also, like, I should say why, because I wanted to prolong their life. I was like, why they didn't, like, usually they live like 2-3 days. I don't know. Maybe some was very lucky and survived
for
a week.
You were rescuing them, right?
So basically, yeah, I kind of was like, in a way, giving them a longer life.
Was it the same thing that you did with these old houses, which you cut apart and, in a sense, preserved the view through their window in your 2018?
Yeah, I still actually on this, I still work. There is more houses, and basically one of the pictures I send you, I sent one picture actually.
Yeah, you sent the picture
something
with an
what
Orthodox
I'm still,
church.
I'm very interested in that, and like recently now I found one house which is like from 1850s. And they are not like in any kind of preserve, like under, I don't know, heritage protection, nothing. It's like villages, like loads of them with all these houses which are just disappearing, like the locals just taking them apart for firewood. That's a house like this house, and the one I got now recent, like this week I brought one, they would be gone anyway, and nobody would even be aware of that. And and there is like just villages empty, like you can see, you go to the place, you go, I don't know, outside of Vilnius, like you drive like 20 minutes, 30, 40. And also, I don't see in that such a big drama that they are disappearing. That's also kind of a natural way of change.
You take pictures of the view through those windows in the houses that you decompose or deconstruct, let's say.
Yeah, and that's like the last view. And now what I do is like more, I pick up flowers who live grow around, and that's actually related to another my work with the greenhouse. That's the so it's related to that houses.
You recreate it in a different setting.
Basically, I took it almost the same. It's not like intact. I just took it.
it seems to me that even though you work with space, even though you're you know, you work with ready-mades and this architectural structure, what you're working with, in a sense, is a fragile sense of humanity. I don't know if you would agree with that, but there's always a human element in your work. For instance, in another work, in Yosal, is that the right way to pronounce
it? Yeah, Jim, Jim in Estonian.
That's probably the most evident, that one, that the human element is important in all the structures that are built around the human being that you work with.
Basically, it was like, originally I did it in Tallinn, in Art Academy. Like now, Tallinn Academy, they all in one building. But mm-hmm. at that point, they were all separated departments. And that department was at the outskirts of the city. And part of that department was like a studios of this all like artists who were like, I don't know, like they were doing something which was like, didn't have any relation with the things that's going on around, you know, in the world. So they were doing something what they did like 20 years, I guess, 30 years ago. And then it appeared to be that students that didn't care about their work. So they were leaving their work. You know, they was like laying these works around. Because, you know, you come to the academy and you get the task. Okay, now you make to make a head like, you know, from plaster. So you do that, but... And then you do something else, but you basically are given tasks to do. And then when you're given tasks, when you don't create your own task, but you are given tasks, it's you sometimes just don't have any relation with that. And then you don't care about stuff you do. So they ended up like being some works which nobody would need them. They were just left. And I took them, those works, and I made a gym out of it. So basically, really directly, like kind of in a way to kind of to say, okay, we can to look at this kind of work from another perspective, very maybe straightforward one, how heavy or they it is. It was, of course, humorous.
Yeah, it was really probably one of the more ironic pieces that you did. I was interested, and I wanted to ask you about your perspective on gentrification and on the space that you inhabit, that is the city of Vilnius.
You know, I used to explore more before. I guess now I'm doing that less. In general, the gentrification is like, I don't know. On the one hand, you know, that's kind of how the city expands, and there could be good things coming with that. And the other hand, of course, it's let's say it's not fair, especially for those local people who live there over generations, and then this, you know, developers comes, and you know, you live, maybe you drink a bit, maybe you work somewhere, I don't know. Because I see those people, I live myself in Užupis. Or mainly, I think, why for me is sad all this process is because of the people who used to inhabit it and they always would live there. That they are gone. And then this suddenly all new people come with all this new, you know, new money, how to call it. And then they, you know, live there and so on. And it's something else. Yep. It's not Užupis anymore. You know, it's not that. It's like, I don't know what that is.
But isn't it, aren't these pockets of resistance, so to call, you know, this 40 square meter flat with an old inhabitant, isn't it this kind of space that is a subject of your creativity? Aren't you, in a sense, creating these...
I would love to see myself
for possibility
like that.
Of resistance.
You know, I would not say there would be some, I guess, more like some artists would be like clearly more like an activist. And I kind of, I'm not an activist. I'm more the one who maybe looks around and kind of maybe spots some things. like, because for me actually is interesting, those, that the whole situation, I find it interesting. And sometimes it's not about maybe solving and helping, you know, well, or helping maybe a very particular person, but you can't, you know, I don't know, help to change the whole situation, the whole this machine. So the, for me, that the way is just maybe to talk and note about that and document it.
How do you see it, Rupert, as a space, as a site?
Well, Rupert, I guess, is a space for with potentiality. What that means, so of course there can be residents who come, or like alternative education programs, some exhibitions, some lectures, something else. But in general, it's like a space for possibilities.
On the author's mark that you leave on this podcast, so could you comment, because you sent us a picture of a very interesting Orthodox
picture
church.
Is like one thing and sound is another.
Yeah.
Okay, so the church, or maybe the sound, I would comment, because before we talked about gym recently. So basically, once first time I did it in Tallinn, my friend, a curator who invited me, and I was like, I was working, I did this kind of sculptures, and I felt like there is like, should be some kind of, like in gym, there should be some kind of sound.
Gym music. Sorry,
like some kind of music. And I told that to Gregor, and then he brought me that. This, basically disc.
This disco music. Wonderful.
That's the music. And the image of the church, it's... oh, it's like something else. It's completely different. It's basically, it's more related with these wooden houses. And basically in Russia, there is like loads of wooden churches, especially in the north part, which are just disappearing. And they are not all of them necessarily even belong to the church. And they are not all of them even on the kind of heritage protection. You know, I never do any sketches while as I work, and I and loads of things I forget. But if something survives, that's then means like that's the thing, you know, which I should kind of do. And this is something I kind of keep it, I don't know for how long, maybe half a year. So that's why I send you that image.
Well, we look forward to seeing the piece that that is growing in your head, like that tall, tall wooden church. Augustas, thank you very much for talking to us. It was really a pleasure and a very interesting conversation. And let me just wish you best of luck with your further work. And as I said, looking forward to seeing more of you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me here. It was a pleasure to talk.